Turn to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. And I'll direct your attention down to verse 47. What we're going to find here in Matthew chapter 13 is another parable of the Lord Jesus. And Matthew 13, verse 47 is the beginning of that parable. It's a parable of the net. And we'll go ahead and read this, and I'll say a few introductory things before we break this down. Let's start in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. You see that Jesus is speaking another parable. He says, again. And when he says again, it means basically that the rest of the chapter has several other parables in it. They're all kingdom of heaven parables, and there's seven of them. This parable of the net is the last of the seven kingdom parables. And in context, Jesus has been speaking to the multitude of people. He's also speaking to his disciples as well, teaching concerning the kingdom of God, which, by the way, currently the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's the rule of God in the hearts of men. There's coming a day when the Lord will set up his earthly kingdom in this world. He'll reign for 1,000 years, and he'll rule and reign in righteousness. He'll rule with a rod of iron. The world has never seen a ruler like the Lord Jesus Christ will be one day. But currently, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus is speaking in parables to teach on what the kingdom of heaven is like. And if you don't know already, a parable is simply a story. It's an illustration of a truth. All right? So it's a story that is illustrating a truth. The truth that Jesus is getting at is the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what he's doing and teaching on is giving a glimpse of the gospel of the kingdom at work in this world through time. This parable actually brings us to the end of the current age, or the day that we live in, when the whole world system is going to be tried and judged by the judge of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, this is the last of seven. And the other parables that are in this chapter, they all center around the gospel. And this one here is no different. This parable is actually about the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. In this chapter, you'll find the parable of the sower. And the sower went out to sow seed in the fields. And that parable represents the condition of men's hearts concerning the gospel. The seed falls into good ground. That's when the gospel takes hold, takes root, and brings forth fruit. There's the parable of the wheat and the tares in this chapter as well. And what that relates to is that some will respond to the gospel and they're truly saved, but others won't. They're fake. It seems as though maybe they did, but they're not true. And the wheat and the tares in that parable, they grow together until the time of the harvest when the truth is revealed. There's coming a day of reaping. And in that day of reaping, the tares will be exposed for what they are, and Jesus says they're going to be cast into the fire. There's the parable of the mustard seed in this chapter as well, and what that is the effect of the gospel in this world. The mustard seed starts out really, really small, but it grows and grows and spreads and spreads. It's the effect of the gospel in this world, that it also started very small. It came to the Jew first, but it grows and spreads throughout the whole world. There's the parable of the leaven. And it's the effect of the gospel in an individual's heart. The idea is that the whole of a man's life is permeated and affected by the gospel. There's not a part of it that it doesn't affect or touch. Of course, there's the parable of the hid treasure, which we talked about a few weeks ago. The value of the gospel and how different people are exposed to it. Some people may not be seeking after truth, but when they're exposed to it, they recognize the value of it and they're willing to part with anything in order to gain that most valuable thing, which is salvation. The woman at the well is a great example of that. She was not seeking salvation, but the Lord knew, and He must needs go through Samaria to speak to her, and He gave her the gospel, and that woman responded and was gloriously saved, even though she wasn't seeking after truth. It was the effect of the gospel in her heart. And then, of course, the parable of the pearl of great price, again indicating the value of the gospel, that some people are seeking after truth. And when they come under the sound of the gospel, they immediately recognize it as the truth of God. They embrace it and are changed by it. The Ethiopian eunuch is a great example of that. He came to Jerusalem for to worship. He was seeking after truth. And it was when he heard the gospel preached to him by Philip that God changed his life. He was saved. Well, the parable before us today is also intended to highlight the fact that the gospel is at work in this world and it's available to everybody. But there's coming a day, there's coming an end to the working of the gospel. And in that day of gathering, the judge of all is going to separate all who are His and all who are not. And that's where we're going to go today in this message, in the parable of the net. Jesus is illustrating a truth here that the gospel is at work, but there's coming a day when it's not going to work anymore. And let's ask the Lord to help us understand today this truth and how it may even apply in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You give us of Your grace today, Lord. We need You, need Your Spirit. Lord, give direction, give understanding. Lord, apply truth in the heart. And Lord, I can't see the heart of anybody, but Lord, You do. And so, Lord, I pray that You would draw to Yourself. Lord, use the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I pray that You'd be glorified in that response. In Jesus' name, amen. Consider first of all with me the net itself. In verse 47, Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. This net that Jesus is using to illustrate the gospel was something of purpose. The net is something very particular that has a very particular purpose. It's something that is prepared and fitted for a particular purpose. It was prepared and fitted to catch fish. That's its purpose. That's what the net is for. At that time, Jesus is speaking to His disciples, which were fishermen, and they completely understood the illustration that Jesus was using here. And in those days, there were different types of nets that these fishermen would use. The word that Jesus uses here, or the term that Jesus uses for this net, basically describes what we would call a drag net. The word means to drag. It means to sweep. And so it was a large net. It was a big net. And the purpose of that net was to be cast into the water to catch fish. But that particular net and the use of it was to drag along the bottom to catch anything and everything in its path. As this net was being dragged along, it keeps gathering everything in its way, both good and bad, both small and great. And when it's brought to the shore, those which are proper for use are preserved, those which are not are destroyed, or they're thrown back into the water. The net itself doesn't make any distinction in the fish that it catches. It receives all that comes into it. That's the purpose of that net. The application here is that this is a wonderful picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. The invitation of the gospel is something that is universal. You say, well, what is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reason that the gospel is so important is because mankind came into this world created by God in a perfect or innocent state. Man chose to disregard God. Adam sinned, and therefore he plunged the entire human race into sin. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin? So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because we come into this world born sinners, we're already condemned of God. John 3:18 tells us that we're condemned already because we've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's how we're born. That's how we come into this world. The reason why the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is so critical and so important is because God, in his love for mankind, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God wanted to redeem sinful men to himself. God wanted to make a way for sinful man to know peace with God, to have their sins forgiven, but you and I can't save ourselves. So he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven's glory, who became a man, who lived a perfect life, who fulfilled the will of God, who gave himself a sacrifice for our sins, his blood shed for our sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In other words, your sin cannot be forgiven if it's not for the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is why the gospel is so important. Because here's an opportunity for mankind to receive the way of salvation, to have the knowledge of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, to know peace with God. It's through Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the good news for men. The good news is that we don't have to pay for our own sin. The gospel is at work in this world. It's universal. It's a whosoever will gospel. The net of the gospel is cast into the sea of humanity. It's capturing, gathering all, making no distinction between you or between me, small or great, rich or poor. It makes no distinction. It's a universal salvation. It's a picture of the grace of God. That invitation of the gospel is universal. It's for every creature. Whosoever will may come. Just like God sends the sunshine and the rain, it comes on both those who are good and both those who are bad. The gospel is for everyone. Go to Romans chapter 10 with me. Keep your place here in Matthew 13. But look at Romans chapter 10, please. In verse 11, Romans 10. In verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the Jews didn't like the word whosoever because it means anybody. It means everybody. They didn't like that because they thought that they were the only, quote, chosen people of God. But in Romans 10 and verse 13, Paul says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now the Apostle Paul is actually quoting the Old Testament prophet Joel when he cites in verse 13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel 2 in verse 33 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said. When Paul was quoting from the Old Testament prophets, it was to prove that whoever calls upon Christ is truly saved, not the Jew only. He says there is no difference between Jew or Greek. The gospel is given to all nations. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 in verse 19, in giving the commission, he said to go and teach or make disciples of all nations, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The point is, the gospel, its purpose is to go and gather, and it makes no distinction. It's at work. Specifically designed for drawing men in this world today. Maybe the gospel has been or is in the process of drawing you. Maybe you've heard the gospel preached. You've sat through services like this. God's word has been preached to you. There have been times when you felt conviction in your soul that you're a sinner, you need a Savior. Maybe there's times when you felt the pull and tug of the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe you felt a little guilty at times when the preaching has happened. That's God and the Spirit of God trying to draw you and draw you into Himself through the gospel. Maybe it's at work in your life currently to draw you. We note that the net here is something of purpose. The net illustrates the gospel of God in this world. It's specifically designed to draw men in this world. But also, secondly, it's something that is cast. Verse 47 in our text says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind." The net was cast into the sea. Again, it's this dragnet that is dragging and catching all that is in its path. But it's cast into the sea. The sea represents the sphere in which men live and move. It's the world. It's the sea of humanity. Into the sea of humanity, the net of the gospel has been cast for the purpose of drawing men. It's whosoever. But I want you to note verse 48. Because we note in verse 48, the gathering. So here's the net that's been cast into the sea, gathering of every kind, making no distinction. But note this, verse 48, "which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away." Now, Jesus says in this illustration that when the net is full, they drew it to shore. They gathered. This was the purpose and intent of casting the net. It did its job. It did the thing that it was supposed to do. The application is the gospel does its job in the hearts of men as well. The good, the bad fish that it gathered represents people in this world. The difference between what made one good and one made one bad in this parable is that, listen, one group sees their need of salvation. They respond to Jesus Christ by faith. The other group sees no need to be saved and they spurn and reject the person of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you this morning just a little bit here for the next few minutes about the gospel and what it actually does in the hearts of men. First of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ makes men face up to reality. See, what do you mean by that? Well, here's the truth of the matter. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth. It's the final truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the ultimate reality. People have their own versions of reality, but so often in people's minds, their version of reality, they've got no power to make that happen. They've got no authority to make that happen. "Well, I just believe this and I believe that way." Okay, you say that, but what happens when you die? What makes what you believe true? The gospel is the truth. It comes from God. It's the ultimate in reality, and it makes men face up to reality. He says there are good, and those good ones are gathered into vessels. Then there are bad, and they're cast away. The good refers to people who deal honestly with Jesus Christ, who, when they learn what the real truth concerning Christ is and the truth concerning themselves, that I'm a sinner before God, that I was born into this world sin, I'm condemned already, and without Jesus Christ, there's no hope for my soul. I realize that and I turn in faith to Jesus Christ for my salvation. That is the good. Those who deal honestly with themselves concerning their own soul and concerning Jesus Christ, they respond to Him by faith. The bad would be those who run from the reality of Christ. They run from the reality of their own spiritual condition, that they're lost. They have no desire to put themselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ. They willfully choose the world of unbelief to the world of faith. They choose the physical realm rather than the spiritual realm. They choose themselves rather than Jesus Christ. How often have people heard the gospel? They've understood the nature of sin. They've understood themselves. But they say, well, I just don't know if I actually believe the Bible is true. I just don't know if I actually believe that I'm a bad person. Most people think they're good people, don't they? I hear it all the time. Are you a good person? Well, I think I'm good. What makes you good? Well, I don't hurt people. I pay my taxes. I try to follow the law. I every now and then I'll go to church and I'll give some money to this cause or that, maybe even to the church. I mean, I'm a pretty good person. What makes you think you're going to get to heaven? Well, I think that, you know, if heaven is real, then when I get there, you know, God's going to see that I've been a pretty good person. And have you done bad things? Well, yeah, I mean, everybody does some bad things, but all the good things are going to be more important than the bad things, and God's going to see that. And yet the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says that there's none that doeth good, no, not one. We're all as an unclean thing in the eyes of God. That's why we need Jesus Christ. We don't have to stay that way. God made a way for our salvation. But those who run from the reality of what they are, those who run from the reality of Jesus Christ, those who don't want to put themselves under the lordship of Christ, those who'd rather choose themselves over Christ and choose unreality rather than reality, those are the ones that Jesus is describing here as those who reject the gospel of Christ. The point is this: the gospel makes men face up to reality. You can't hear the gospel and not be confronted with the condition of your own soul and your own heart before God, that it's wicked. There are those who want to water down the gospel. They want to preach this gospel that makes people feel good. They want to deny the holiness of God and the reality of sin that will take your soul to a place of eternity without God in the lake of fire. They want to bring in the people and get the people saved. They never talk about repentance. They never talk about the holiness of God. They want to water it down. But the true gospel makes people face the reality of who they are before God. Not only does the gospel make men face up to reality, but secondly, when a person is confronted with the gospel of Christ, it reveals what kind of a person he is or she is. It tells whether a person will deal honestly with the truth or whether they'll reject it and turn from it. What the gospel does is it isolates a man and causes him, forces him to make a decision about Jesus Christ. That final decision is going to make a separation. He's either going to follow Christ and yield to Christ, or he's going to turn from him. I want you to note this. The gospel always drives men one way or the other. There's no neutral ground. The gospel of Jesus Christ drives men one way or the other. If a person believes and acts upon the truth, he'll never be the same again. Praise the Lord. It changes everything about their life. Not all at once, but gradually, little by little, every area or part of a person's life becomes affected by the truth of Jesus Christ. But the same is true if a person rejects the gospel of Christ. If they spurn the truth, they will also never be the same again. He'll become more and more hardened to spiritual truth. When a person is confronted with the reality of who they are, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it reveals what kind of person they are. It always drives men one way or the other. And thirdly, the gospel either softens or hardens hearts, depending on a person's response to it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 14, I'm just going to read this to you. If you can get there, great. If not, then I want you to listen closely. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Is that what I want to be? I mean, I don't think that's where I want to be. Let me see. Let me get back here. Where I want to be is in 1 Corinthians 2. Sorry, I was in 2 Corinthians, and I think I told you 2 Corinthians, but I want to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the same verse, verse 14. The Bible says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things," it means understands all things, "yet he himself is judged or understood of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Verse 14 makes it very clear that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness. He can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the way we are when we come into this world, it's the natural man. In our sinful state, we don't want to hear the things of God. The Bible says that no man seeketh after God. The Bible says that no one can come to God except the Father draw him. God is drawing people to Himself. But in our natural state, we don't want to receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness and they're spiritually discerned, meaning we have to have the Holy Spirit of God give us understanding of what is truth or what is true. And the point that I started to make here was that the gospel either softens or hardens depending on a person's response to it. When God gives light, God gives some understanding through the Spirit. If a man receives that, responds to it, God's going to give him more. If he rejects it, "I don't want to hear that truth about myself, that I'm a sinner and I'm not a good person. I don't want to hear that." He hardens his heart. "Well, I just don't know if this is really true." He's hardening his heart. The gospel hardens or softens depending on how a person responds to it. God said that His word would not return void, that it would accomplish the thing that He sent it to accomplish. Listen, when the gospel is preached, not everybody gets saved. Not everybody responds to the truth. That doesn't mean that it's not accomplishing what God sent it to do. It leaves people in a position where they must make a choice about Jesus Christ and about themselves, to receive Him or to reject Him. There's no neutral ground. You understand what I'm saying? It can either put spiritual salt on the tongue that causes them to thirst for more, or it can drive them away. It either softens or hardens. And the gospel is like a net which captures people and eventually exposes what they are and lays bare the true motives of the heart. And the time of gathering in that net is now. As you're exposed to the gospel, maybe for the first time in your life, you're hearing things that you've never heard before. Maybe it's causing you to have a question. Maybe it's something you don't understand, but you're curious. That's the gospel, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God beginning to draw in your heart, exposing you. The time of opportunity in this world to be saved is right now. I want you to note this, because when you go back to our text in verse 48, there's something else that's said here. "Which when the net was full, they drew it to shore." Here's the time of the drawing. "When they drew it to shore, they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away." Notice how the text says, "when it was full." It indicates to us that it had accomplished its purpose, The time is now for it to come to an end. The net of God's saving grace, my friend, will not always be available. It won't always be in the sea of this world. There is a time to draw it in. That time may be nearer than we think. When it is full, that indicates to us that it's the time when it's the end of the age. Note what Jesus said in verse 49. He makes the application. He says, so shall it be at the end of the world. There's a time that's coming when it's over. The Bible tells us that we don't know when that time is, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. When the gospel net is drawn, then present privilege and opportunity of salvation is going to be gone. That's why 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Verse 48 goes on and says, once that net was drawn to shore and it was over, they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be. There's the illustration of the real truth. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Here is the separation. They gathered the good. They cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. Here's the application. A person's character was determined, or rather, let me say it this way. Who that person was, their character actually determined their destiny. The good, Jesus says, were gathered into vessels. The bad were cast away. I want you to note something here. Who was the one who was deciding? Was it the fish in the net that were deciding whether they were good or bad? Was it the fish who were deciding if they were going to go into the vessel or they were cast away? No. The fish aren't the ones who decide the standard of what is good and what is bad. Neither are we the ones who decide what is good with God and what is not. The Lord is the ultimate judge. The Lord knoweth them that are His. In Matthew 7, in verse 21, the Bible says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? In Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Jesus is the one who will do the separating based on whether or not a person has been truly saved by the grace of God, truly born again, having their sins forgiven, or not. Jesus said in this parable that the good were put into vessels, the bad were cast into the fire. And what it tells us is that there's eternal separation from God for all those who've never received the gospel of Jesus Christ, never been born again, never had their sins forgiven. And I want to just conclude the message this morning with Jesus' own words in verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? That's the same question for you this morning. Do you understand? Do you understand what God is trying to say to you? What He's saying to you is that you need to be born again. You need to have your sins forgiven. He's saying that the way to have your sins forgiven is being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would ask you this question as we close today. Where are you today? Are you saved or are you lost? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have your sins been forgiven? Or are you lost without the Lord? Those who are born again, those who are saved, they're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. Those who are lost are going to be eternally separated from God. Jesus said there in verse 49, "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." That's the reality. That's the truth. The gospel net is gathering. It's gathering you in today if you're lost. You're faced with a decision that will determine your eternal destiny. You're faced with a decision about Jesus Christ and about yourself. The question is, will you respond to the Lord and to the gospel of Christ today? Maybe you're here today and you've never heard this before, or you've never considered it like this. I would ask you another question, just for reality's sake. If you were to die today, where would you go? And I want you to think about it, because it's true. It's a thing that could happen. It's a real thing. You could die today. If that happened, where would your soul go? Well, I don't know for sure. But let me say to you, you can know for sure. You can know for sure that your sins are forgiven, that your soul would be in the presence of God. You can know that by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing on Christ, repenting of your sin, putting your faith in Christ, and believing the promise of God. Or you can choose to say, "Well, I just don't know if I believe it's true." God's not going to force you to believe anything. God will let you take your own course, but there's coming a day when the opportunities to be saved are going to be gone, and every person is going to stand before God. You and I don't have power to make reality. What we have is an opportunity to believe and obey. God is the final judge. So the question is, are you saved or are you lost? If you were to die today, where would you go? God is giving an opportunity for all men to be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray, Lord, that you'd work in hearts this morning to accomplish your purpose. It's a simple illustration, simple message, that the gospel is for every person. It's gathering of every kind. But God is the one who will separate in the end those who are truly born again, those who responded to the gospel, and those who have not. Lord, I pray for those this morning who've never been saved. May they understand the reality that this life is not forever. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. There's coming a point when we're all going to die or we're going to stand before God. May the condition of the soul be weighing heavy on the heart and minds of people today. Men tried to deny God. They tried to deny the reality of truth in order to make themselves feel better, to continue to live the life they want to live. But ultimately, someday, each person is going to stand before God. Lord, we want to preach the gospel. We want to give the truth concerning Jesus Christ, concerning the sinfulness of men. We want to give that to people. That's what you've called us to do. But it's up to people to decide if they're going to believe, if they're going to respond to you or not. Lord, I pray for the souls of those who are not saved today. Would you draw them? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's